Welcome to Scripture Beneath the Surface, an outreach of Preparation Ministries, a presentation to encourage God's people to embrace a life of holiness and to move away from the worldly lifestyle of today's church. It is our hope that you will come to understand the message of 2 Corinthians 6, 17, and 18, which tells us to come out from among them and be a separate people. We bring this to you because we believe Jesus is coming soon. Now here is our host, Randy Smith.
Hello. Thanks for being with us. Today, I'd like to talk about the concept of putting on Christ. Now, let me start this way. The Bible is divided into two major portions, the Old Testament and the New Testament. The word testament means a testimony or a witness. God's word is a testimony to the people of earth, and his word tells us what God is doing. God is testifying to human beings on this planet and telling us about himself. The first testimony, the Old Testament, was God's way of telling us about himself by beginning to explain mankind's relationship to him as a flesh and blood physical being. The New Testament, on the other hand, is a testimony of God which goes further, and it tells us more about God, and especially how God is a spirit, and how mankind differs so much from God. Humans were first created as physical beings. We were created as flesh and blood. God isn't that way. He isn't flesh and blood. He is spirit. But then, for humans, flesh and blood had to come first in order to come to understand God, and especially why God is a spirit and so much farther above the basic concept of us as physical beings. The first man was Adam. Although God is a spirit, still, he didn't create Adam as a spirit man, but created him as a physical man. Adam was the beginning of God's creation of a people for himself. All of us are first created as flesh and blood human beings. That's what comes first. As it says in 1 Corinthians 15, 45 and 46, "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. However, that was not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward, that which is spiritual." So you see, in the order of God's creation, it is the physical man which comes first. The first man was Adam, who was a physical man, and then afterward came the spirit man. The first man was a living soul, but the second type of man was a quickening or a life-giving spirit. You see, when Adam and Eve were created, they were just flesh and blood human beings. And consequently, everyone who is a descendant of Adam and Eve are also just flesh and blood human beings. But then the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:50 that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. That's why the Bible also tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:22 that all those in Adam shall die, but that all those in Christ shall be made alive. Now, I know this is confusing, but it is for this very reason that I've chosen this topic for today. If you're just subconsciously listening to me today, then you're probably not going to understand much of anything I'm saying. What I'm talking about today is really deep stuff, even for advanced scholars of the Bible. However, the subject matter we're talking about shouldn't be just for advanced scholars, but should be for every Christian on the face of this planet. The things that the Apostle Paul talks about in his letters to the Romans, the Ephesians, the Corinthians, the Galatians, and the rest of the New Testament groups of people are very, very important for every Christian to fully understand. This concept of the first Adam, being a living soul, but Jesus Christ being the second Adam, who is a life-giving spirit, is at the very core of the New Testament's covenant of grace. You see, it's important to realize that the first Adam is the progenitor of Earth's race of people, but that Jesus Christ is the second Adam, and he is the progenitor of God's children. And this is because God's children are not physical flesh and blood human beings, but they are spirit beings. Just as I quoted 1 Corinthians 15:50 a minute ago, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Let me read 1 Corinthians 15:45 through 47 again, and listen carefully to what it is saying concerning the first Adam and the second Adam. It says, "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. However, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven." Jesus Christ is the Lord from heaven. He is the second Adam. He is the second Adam in the sense that Jesus is the fulfillment of what Adam needed to be but couldn't be. Adam was the beginning of the human race, but there was a significant flaw in Adam. He was not a quickening spirit. He was not a life-giving spirit. And the reason for this is because he was not God. Now, make no mistake. Make absolutely no mistake. There is not one single person on earth, nor in heaven, who can give life except God himself. And I'm not talking about cloning or making babies. I'm talking about eternal life. It is only God himself who can create life to the point of perfection so that the life of that person will never end. As it said in 1 Corinthians 15:22, everyone in Adam will die, but everyone in Jesus Christ will live. We can be descendants of Adam, but we will eventually die because Adam, Eve's husband, was not a life-giving spirit. He could only give temporary life. He could only pass on that life that he had within himself, because the life that Adam had was tainted by sin. Every single person who is a descendant of Adam is tainted with sin. Even before you are born, even before you emerge from the womb, you are tainted with sin, because Adam sinned. And because Adam sinned, his life was temporary. Everyone who is born of Adam will die. So if you are a descendant of Adam, you have inherited sin. Death dwells within you and will eventually kill you because you have inherited Adam and Eve's lifeblood. It is only the lifeblood of Jesus Christ which is lasting. Therefore, it is only the lifeblood of Jesus Christ that will give you life eternal. Now, please, stay with me. I know this is difficult to understand, but God is the only one who is eternal. Yes, we can be created by God, just as the heavenly creatures have been created, and God can give us eternal life just as he gave it to the angels of heaven. But there is only one being, one existent person in all heaven and earth who is eternal, and that is God himself. Not only will God live forever, just as he has promised us that we will live forever in him, but he also has lived forever, even to the point that God had no beginning. God has no end, but God also has no beginning. It is this eternal life-giving God that we humans are seeking. It is life eternal that means so much to us, because it is life eternal that will save us from certain death, which we inherited from Adam and Eve. But God knew what he was doing from the very beginning. In fact, We know that God created everything in 6 days, and on the seventh day he ceased from his work. Now the Bible says that he rested from his work, but it doesn't mean that he actually needed to rest, as in resting from weariness. He rested from his work in the sense that he ceased from his work. He finished his work and stopped working. He no longer worked because he had finished his work, and therefore he ceased working. He rested from it. Although God worked for 6 days, the Bible clearly tells us that after that 6 days, his work was finished. This means that the whole plan of mankind, including the plan of the fall of man and his eventual redemption, was also part of God's 6-day work. God isn't working now to create mankind as spiritual man in the image of God. He already did this in the first 6 days. Everything that we can see in the history of the human race was accomplished by God in 6 days. No, we can't understand it all, and we can't see it all yet, but God's creation is still unfolding from that initial 6 days. Because God is omniscient, which means that he is all-knowing, we then know for certain that there are no surprises with God. God knows the past, he knows the present, and he also knows the future. When God tells us what is going to come to pass, it isn't just a good guess. God isn't just making boastful statements. When God tells us what will take place in the world, it is because he is omniscient. He is all-knowing. He knows what will happen in each and every person's situation. He knows where you are today, and he knows what you're going through, and he also knew what you would be going through before the foundation of the world. Believe me, if you will, if there is anything that can happen that God does not already know, then we would be in a lot of trouble. If anything could happen that God had not already planned for in the first 6 days of creation, then we would always have to worry that something might pop up a billion years from now that God had not expected. Can you imagine God saying, "Oh, my oh my, I didn't expect that to happen. What should I do now?" You know, I once heard a Bible study by a fairly well-known preacher, and the instructor was saying that God's plans could be overturned by humans. The instructor was saying that God himself could be thwarted in his plans, and that God actually has to change his plans from time to time in order to keep up with Satan's attacks on him through his people. But this is impossible because God is all-powerful. The Bible actually says that God is the only power, not just the biggest power. And if God is the only power, then what power could come against him that he did not allow in the first place? Anyway, just try to think about this one thing. When the Bible talks about God changing his mind, just remember that the Bible talks down to earth people just as we talk down to children. God's word could not be understood by humans if God did not put it in a form that we could understand. When trying to understand the Bible, we must realize that God is the Almighty God and that there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that God cannot do and that God does not know or that God has not always known. God is the only power there is. Eventually, everyone will come to realize this. But for you, the most important thing you can know is that if you're going to inherit eternal life, then you must be a son of God instead of a son of Adam. Now, the problem with inheriting eternal life is that eternal life is not inherited from Adam. As we already quoted a couple of times, the Bible says, "In Adam all die." It is only when we cease to be sons of Adam that we become sons of the living God. It is only when we cease to be in Adam and come to be in Christ that we enter into eternal life. This is why the Apostle Paul stresses the point that in order to be saved, we must put on Christ. In Romans 13:14, it says, "But put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not make provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts of it." Did you hear that? It said that we should put on Christ. This means that we put Christ on as we would put on a robe or another piece of clothing. In Galatians 3:27, it says it this way, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." You see, when we are born as flesh and blood human beings, we have first been born as descendants of Adam. But being a descendant of Adam and Eve only gives us the inheritance of Adam and Eve, which inheritance is eventual death. But when we put on Christ, when we become part of the body of Christ, we then have become part of the only true and living God. We have become part of Jesus Christ, who is the only created flesh and blood being who is both God in spirit and flesh and blood. You see, Adam sinned, and as it says in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 5:14 tells us that even if we do not sin after the similitude of Adam, we are still subject to death because Adam is not a life-giving spirit. Adam cannot pass on to us an eternal life that he himself does not have. We are born into the first Adam and are therefore inheritors of his death. Even before we are born, we have inherited Adam's death. The only way we can escape the death that comes through the genealogy of Adam and Eve is to become born again into a new man. That man is Jesus Christ. It is only Jesus Christ who was able to live a sinless life, and therefore it was only Jesus Christ who was able to overcome death that has reigned in Adam from the beginning. Jesus Christ rose from the grave, not just because he was God, but because as God, he was all-powerful and therefore had power over sin. He could live a perfect life, which no human could ever do. The first Adam sinned. Everyone else was born into this sin. No, they hadn't necessarily sinned yet, especially if they were still in the womb. But as soon as human beings are born and begin to live their lives, they will sin. But what destroys mankind is not the sin, but the inheritance of death which reigned in Adam. Please, think about this. In Adam, everyone will eventually die because the first Adam was not a life-giving spirit. The first Adam was a living soul, but not a life-giving spirit. It is only Jesus Christ who was created as a life-giving spirit. And this is because when Jesus Christ was created, he was created in flesh and blood, but he was also created by the act of the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us that although Jesus was born of a woman and was therefore flesh and blood, he was also born by the life-giving Holy Spirit of God. Therefore, being born of the Holy Spirit, Jesus also became a life-giving spirit, just as the Holy Spirit is life-giving. Think about this. In the Old Testament, we read that the life of the body is in the blood. But the life of the blood could only give us life like Adam had. It could not give us life eternal, but could only give us life that was temporary. The life of Adam could only give life in the flesh. This is why we need to be born again in the Spirit of God, and this is why the new covenant was established by God. God's eternal plan is for man to escape death by being born, not of flesh and blood, but born by the Holy Spirit of God. When we humans finally come to realize that we have no eternal life without Jesus Christ, It is then and only then that we recognize the need for the life-giving Holy Spirit of God. Jesus told us that we needed to be born again. We were first born according to the genealogy of Adam, but in order to have life eternal, we must be born again, and this time be born in the Spirit. We must cease to be descendants of Adam and Eve, and we must become descendants of God Himself. In order to have eternal life, we must receive Jesus Christ, and we must put off the old body and put on the new. Jesus Christ is our robe of righteousness, because it is in Jesus Christ that we have the life from His life-giving Spirit. We must put on Christ and become members of His body instead of members of Adam's body. It is only Jesus Christ who can give eternal life, because it is only Jesus Christ who was not only born of flesh and blood from a woman, but was also created as a life-giving Spirit by the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit.
We hope you are enjoying today's message. If you would like a copy of today's program, please listen after Randy's closing thoughts for our contact information. As long as the Lord enables us, we will provide all of our materials free of charge. Please be assured that you will not be asked for any donation. We believe that God will supply our need as He sees fit. God's Word is freely given. Now, once again, here's Randy.
In the book of Galatians, the Apostle Paul explains that Abraham was given a promise by God that one of his descendants should be the seed that brings blessings to all nations of the earth. Paul is very explicit and tells us in Galatians 3:16 that the seed of Abraham, to whom the promise would come, was not many seeds, but only one seed, and that one seed that God was referring to was Jesus Christ. We Christians do not inherit eternal life from the first Adam, who was created as a living soul. We Christians inherit eternal life from Jesus Christ, who was made different from Adam. Jesus was a living soul in the sense that He was born of flesh and blood, but He is also a life-giving Spirit because He was also born of the Holy Spirit. When we put on Christ, when we become members of Christ's body, we become part of that single seed that God referred to when giving the initial promise to Abraham. All nations of the earth, all the peoples of the earth are blessed through Father Abraham, but only if they put off the old man of the flesh and put on the new man, Jesus Christ. Jesus is that seed of Abraham who was to receive the promise, and it is Jesus who can bless all nations. However, the blessing which God promised does not extend to any of Abraham's seed except one, and that one seed is Christ. Paul expressed it very plainly. He told us that the promise was only to one seed of Abraham, not to many seeds. Therefore, we cannot be just descendants of Abraham and believe that Christ was perfect. That alone will not give us eternal life. In order to take part in the blessing of God and escape the curse of sin on the earth, we must put off the old flesh and blood man and be born again into Christ. We must put on Christ and become part of His body. This is why Christians are referred to as being part of the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ on the earth. We are not just sons of God as descendants of Adam who believe in Jesus, for we are no longer descendants of Adam and Eve. We have put off the old man, and we have put on Christ Jesus. We have become members of His body. Believe me, it is only the body of Christ that has the right to enter into the very presence of God Almighty. No one can enter into the presence of God unless they are perfectly righteous. Therefore, If you think you can enter into the presence of God in your own body, then you need to think again. You are sinful. You inherited that sinfulness from Adam, and it is sin which keeps you out of the presence of God. Therefore, in order to enter into the presence of God, you must put off your old man of the sinful flesh and put on the new man, Christ Jesus, who is the only sinless flesh and blood person in existence. You must put on Christ and become a member of his body, for it is only Christ's body that will ever be allowed to enter into the presence of the Father in heaven. It is Christ who is our salvation, but only if we put off the old man of the flesh and put on Christ.
Thank you for joining us for Scripture Beneath the Surface. If you would like a copy of today's program, please contact us and ask for message number 162, Why Do We Put On Christ? We also have information on such topics as the image of the beast, the mark of the beast, and the rapture. As always, there is no charge for any of our material. There are several ways to obtain our messages. Just contact us in the way which is easiest for you. If you are comfortable with computers, you may download our messages from our website. The website address is preparationministries.net. Preparation Ministries is all one word. That's preparationministries.net. However, we would be happy to send the CDs and transcripts directly to you if that would be easier. Our postal address is Preparation Ministries, P.O. Box 475, Olivet, Michigan 49076. That's Preparation Ministries, P.O. Box 475, Olivet, Michigan 49076. We also have an email address. It is preparationministries@gmail.com. That's preparationministries, all one word, @gmail.com. Or you may contact us by telephone. The number is area code 269-763-2114. That's 269-763-2114. Thank you again for listening to Scripture Beneath the Surface, and may God bless.